Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome to Hour 2 of the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. You know, we were talking about this heart stuff. Yeah, the guy from The Biggest Loser at the last part of Hour 1. And Eric Douglas, my good friend and author extraordinaire, had to split. But I wanted to give him a plug for his book because it is Heart Month. And he has a book that is actually has quotes in it from me and a bunch of other heart attack survivors or heart surgery survivors. Just go to booksbyeric.com and you can check it out. And it's a great read whether you're having heart issues or not. But a very great perspective. If you know someone who has had an incident, how they recover, how they get back to diving, how they get back to just doing whatever they love, whether it's diving or some other activity. So once again, booksbyeric.com, check it out, and you will be a more informed diver, let alone just person. Yeah, right. Fair enough. All right, so it is Super Bowl weekend, and you know, we kind of went around the room with the crew in Hour 1 asking them what they thought the Super Bowl of diving area in the world was for them. And I got Lad Atkins on from Reef, and I'm going to put him on the spot and see if he kind of agrees with the rest of the class. Lad, welcome to Scuba Radio first off. How are you, my friend?
Hey, I'm great, Greg. How are you doing?
I am good. Now, I'm not putting you on the spot to say what is your favorite place to dive, because we know what that is, the next place you're going to, right? You're with me on that one.
Yeah, for sure. And I don't know what the first hour said, but wherever I'm in the water, that is my favorite spot.
That's a win.
Put me in, coach.
Exactly. But when you ask, you know, 10 divers on the street, anybody you know, what would you consider like the Super Bowl of diving? Is it, what do you think most people come back with? What area of the world?
I think Indonesia, the Indo-Pacific, is probably high on everybody's list.
Really? Okay. So you,
I think so.
Well, all right. Well, they come back with me always with the Galapagos.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, there you go.
Yeah.
I'd have to throw that up there, too. Big
yeah.
Critters.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it's interesting. Indonesia, definitely way, way up there. But the one place I always get is people say Galapagos. And I don't know. I mean, but Indonesia, I haven't been to there, but that's actually on my list for this year because Explorer Ventures has a couple boats out there now. And
yeah,
we may get there.
That.
Yeah.
Great.
So you wouldn't necessarily disagree, but you'd throw Indonesia into the mix, huh?
I would throw Indonesia in the mix, and you know, this afternoon I'm going to be getting into the boat basin by my house with about 18 inches of visibility and then half full of sargassum and tons of little critters in there, and I'm going to have the best time. So really it is wherever you're in the water.
Yes, exactly. Wherever you can get wet is where the best diving is. Well, understood. So you're just going to do that down in the Keys. What are you planning to do? Just have fun, or are you counting stuff again?
Greg, yeah, all the above. They, you know, there's some boats.
You're breaking up. Say that again.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Greg.
That's okay.
Yeah, we have some boat basins on the east side, and when we have the east wind blowing, it blows in rafts of sargassum, and with it come pipefish and seahorses and sargassum frogfish, and baby flying fish, and juvenile jacks, and all kinds of stuff that gets blown in there, and it's a great fun time to get in and float at eye level and just look at all that crazy stuff.
Wow. So, yeah, it's like its own little, macro world or whatever. Just floats in on the water column. That'd be kind of neat. Yeah, that'd be fun for sure. You know, now, obviously, that is, he's the man behind Reef, the Reef Environmental Reef
Education Foundation.
Education Foundation, reef.org. Check it out. And they do a lot of great work. And one of the big things they do every year is these, just keep getting bigger and bigger, is these lionfish derbies. And you just announced the latest schedule, right?
Yeah, we are really excited this year. We're adding a couple places back into the mix, going back to Jacksonville again, which always has a big turnout and a lot of lionfish. And then also working with the Frost Museum of Science in Miami to do a first-time event there, which is going to be really fun.
Hmm. Okay. I see it kicks off March 31st down there at Penny Camp. Is that like the inaugural event, so to speak, where you guys kind of start these every year, or is this a unique situation this year?
Well, the March date really comes on the heels of what we used to call our locals-only derby.
Ah, okay.
You know, so busy here in the summer that the local dive masters just, you know, they can't get off to get out and hunt lionfish. They're too busy.
Right.
So we do a winter derby, and that's what this March event is about.
Okay, The one March 31st is at Sharky's in Key Largo, and then Penny Camp is in September, like September 14th. So,
exactly.
So that's kind of a local kickoff to the lionfish derbies, but anybody can join it. You don't have to be a local, do you?
No. So what I was going to say is it's grown out of being just the locals to being quite a significant event. But it's still kind of that wintertime, spring time period. So the summer series is going to kick off in June with that Miami event at Frost.
Got it. Yeah, because March, end of March is still, it's not warm enough for Florida warm water wusses like myself, necessarily. It's kind of 50-50.
I don't think it meets Neil Watson's 80-80-80 criteria.
Yes, well, it depends on the day. Yeah, exactly, for sure.
Right.
But yeah, they are great events. And basically, how does it work? People can register as individuals, or they got to get a four-person team or a buddy team or what? How do these things come together?
Right, so they can, they're up to four people on a team. Mm-hmm. You can have fewer than four, but each team is comprised of up to four people. And basically, you've got a whole day, and depending on the derby, sometimes a day and a half, to go out and bring in as many lionfish as you can bring in.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, we have this great new collaboration with Whole Foods, who's the title sponsor for the whole derby series this year. It's being presented by Whole Foods.
Yeah.
And so we're able to go 10 deep in prizes for the most lionfish that come in. We're able to go 3 deep for largest and smallest lionfish. We're going to have what we call a golden fish award. So anybody that's in the event that brings in even a single lionfish, it's a raffle ticket.
Uh-huh.
And at the end of the derby, we're going to pull the raffle, and that's going to be a $1,000 fish.
Wow.
And we're going to have first-timers, first through third as well. So we have a lot of prizes. I think for the whole series, there's going to be over $40,000 worth of prizes.
Very nice. It's been getting bigger and bigger every year. And the Whole Foods connection is kind of, you know, relatively new. And that's cool, because they're selling lionfish in the Whole Foods here. I think it might be the entire Southeast, but definitely Florida now, right? Is that their
one? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. And they're doing a great job of educating people about the issue and why they should be eating lionfish and getting it out there for people.
Yeah. Well, by the way, when you do the derbies, I always see the pictures after, you know, like the big end of party event, and there's literally like wheelbarrows full of lionfish.
Yeah.
It's crazy the amount of lionfish you guys get at some of these events. Because people are getting really good at catching them and turning it into a friendly competition kind of thing. And then you have like a cookout and stuff. Is that still happening, or now is all the lionfish going to Whole Foods? It's not doing that.
Well,
is it?
No, we still are doing a free cookout and tasting for people. And in a number of the derbies, we're going to do, over in Sarasota with Moat, in Palm Beach at Loggerhead Marine Life Center, up in Jacksonville, and in Key Largo, we're going to have a culinary competition. So the fish that come in are going to get prepared, and people are going to judge the chef's different creations and vote a winner.
Oh, you got to love that. I mean, lionfish is. I've had the luxury to have some really tasty concoctions with lionfish, whether it's, you know, just the fish baked or fried or whatever, or ceviche. Oh my gosh, it is a really friendly fish when it comes to cooking recipes, for sure. So very tasty. So I'll tell you, it is on my list to get to one of these, at least one of these this season. So lad, I hope to see you, and maybe we'll do our little show at one of these events and see if we can make that happen. Okay.
That'll be great. Come bring the show, and we'll have a great time.
Absolutely. Reef.org. Go there. You can look for all the information. Lad, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again soon, my friend.
Thanks, Greg. Take care.
All right. There you go. He is the man behind the madness of these lionfish derbies. I mean, it's up the whole big organization. Check it out, reef.org. We got more coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Come as a guest, leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures Liveaboards. It doesn't matter if you're traveling solo, with a buddy or group. Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. For proof, know Explore Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. They're also the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. You've likely heard us talk about Explore Ventures Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise trips many times, and we invite you to join us on the next one. However, whether we're on board with you or not, I'll bet an Explore Ventures liveaboard trip will be one of the best dive experiences you've ever had. It just doesn't get any better. Save the St. Kitts, Turks and Caicos, the Galapagos, Maldives, Indonesia, humpback whales, and the Silver Banks. New destinations and itineraries are being added all the time. Call one of their talented travel consultants to find the Explore Ventures liveaboard experience that's just right for you. 1-800-322-3577. That's 1-800-322-3577. Or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Divers in the Know dive with Dan. Divers Alert Network. DAN is the industry's largest association dedicated to scuba diving safety and has served divers for over 30 years. DAN provides emergency assistance, medical information, educational opportunities, trip insurance, and more. Whether you're just learning scuba or a veteran, a DAN membership just makes good sense. Sign up and take advantage of the many benefits DAN offers by going to dan.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
Surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
I'm obsessed with sharks. I love sharks. I love when they kill people. Mm-hmm. Right?
That's not the part most people love.
No, but it's the part they get excited about.
Yes.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. You know, big weekend, Super Bowl weekend. And, you know, some of them might have been overshadowed in the world, literally. No pun intended. Actually, I kind of meant it. Groundhog Day was Friday. I don't know. Groundhog Day is one of those things, you know, you don't, there's not a whole lot of celebration going on. Just you see the news reports, you know. The groundhog, did it see a shadow? Did it not see a shadow? I didn't even hear. Barry the Boater, do you know? Did the groundhog see a shadow? Do we got more winter coming our way, or do we know?
Have you heard? I believe he saw a shadow. I think we have more winter coming, but I wasn't paying that much attention.
You weren't paying attention.
Stupid groundhog seen its shadow, so that's 6 more weeks of bad weather.
6 more weeks of okay. So you that is what you saw. Is that
I'm sure Jerry could take care of that groundhog with one shot.
Well, you know, I was wondering.
Somebody should have shot him before he got him out.
If more people would, tie this into their diving activities. This is where I love it when dive operators, dive shops get creative with the holidays. You know, at Christmas, they'll sink a Christmas tree. You know, at Easter, they'll have a Easter bunny dive like Captain Slade. He'll put on a full, Easter bunny thing, and then he'll hide eggs on the reef and have a fun little dive. You don't hear about anything, about Groundhog's Day. We could take this over.
We could put groundhogs in the water and try to find them?
No. Come on.
Stuffed groundhogs, not real ones.
No, we got hogfish. We could come up with a groundhog fish.
Groundhog fish. Okay.
And you got to dive down and see if the groundhog fish sees his shadow. And if he does, then what? It's 6 more weeks of diving? I don't know.
I think the groundhogs are smarter than the hogfish.
You think so? I don't know.
I've seen two hogfish next to each other. You spear one, and the other one just looks at them and just keeps swimming along like nothing happened.
Yeah. Well, we like that, though, don't we, if we're trying to catch them?
Well, yeah, but the groundhog, I think, is even smarter than that.
Well, yeah, it'd be kind of cruel to take the groundhog underwater. I don't think they're swimming critters, are they, or scuba diving?
We could put a little bowl over their head. It'd be like
you could do that.
A face mask.
Yeah. Yeah, where's PETA when you need them? They'd love that, I'm sure. But
are we going to go hunt lionfish?
Yeah, I think we are. But I'm just saying, though, we might need to start this groundhog fish thing, next year. We'll let me think, mull that over, or do something with the Super Bowl. I mean, how could you tie the Super Bowl into a dive? You know anyone's doing anything for that?
Well, Clearwater Aquarium's doing it. They got Nick.
What do you mean?
Have you not seen the video they do that Nick the Dolphin has predicted the Super Bowl?
Oh,
this
really?
Year for the Patriots. Yes. He's like a 6-7 right now in predictions. So he's doing good.
He's done pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
So how does he how does he pick the winner, though?
Well, they throw the football, whoever's playing, they throw the footballs in the pool.
Yeah.
And Nick brings it to him. And that's who he predicts.
Interesting. So you're putting
like a stupid groundhog.
Is that what you're basing your betting on there, Jerry? Is Nick the Dolphin out of Clearwater?
Well, if he wins me money, that'll be good.
Yeah,
I kind of gamble on some of this stuff.
Well, I mean, I don't think you're alone in that regard. I don't know if I would work those odds in my favor necessarily, but I would like to work a diving element into it. Sure, I mean, Nick would be, is slightly amusing, sure. Or maybe it's the rays that Barry the Boater was talking about earlier, that you have these stingrays and they picked a winner of the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, they picked the Eagles.
But what can we do to tie the Super Bowl into a dive? That's what I'm
trying to say. You call it the Super Bowl, so it would be the Super Bowl of diving.
Well, would
be the title of that.
Well, yeah, but I mean, what could we do underwater as a special dive on Super Bowl Sunday, or some way to, there's some way to bring the game underwater and watch the game while you dive or something.
But they don't make underwater TVs yet.
Well, you can take a TV underwater.
Yeah, you can put it in a housing and then just run a wire all the way up to the top.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can put it in a sealed housing.
Yeah, I don't know. There's something there. And I guess I'm just looking for some creativity from our crew.
Super Bowl chili is not going to taste good underwater.
Let's ask the audience.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Facebook Live.
Yeah. If you guys have any suggestions, feel free to share. A groundhog fish, thing. That would be easy to do, I think, because you get the hogfish. We could just throw ground on there. And pick a hogfish that will predict our diving schedule for the next 6 weeks and kind of take over that holiday. That's what I'm saying. We need to create our own diving holiday. So there, it's out there. You can do with it what you want. Chew on it, think on it and talk amongst yourselves and then get back to us. But getting back to what Barry was saying with the lionfish, You had told me during the commercial break while we were talking to Lad from Reef that you have one of those lionfish spears, but you've never used it?
I've never used it. I bought it a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
At the Divers Direct. And as a matter of fact, I think either James or CJ took it down one year when we were hunting lobster, and he was hoping to catch a lionfish, but we never spotted any. So I didn't know there were still that many out there.
Well, you know, the thing is when we were doing that, we were going to some popular sites. You know, when you go to the popular sites down in South Florida, you don't really see much lionfish anymore because they've already been fished out. It's like going to catch lobster on a site that is that they dive fairly common, you know?
Yeah, so.
And so you got to go to more remote areas where they haven't been, you know, there hasn't been much diving going on there, and then you will find much more lionfish. So the divers done a pretty good job at kind of culling the herd, so to speak, on popular sites. But it's like anything. You got to find those places to go where people don't go, and then you can probably find as many lionfish as you want, you think?
Yeah, I wonder if you're allowed to legally catch them in John Pennekamp Park, because that's supposed to be a restricted area to begin with.
Well, I think there's a lionfish exemption, but I don't know. We'll have to check the Florida state laws. I know they had opened that up at some point and to a certain extent, but we'll have to look into that, because I don't want to say one way or another. But I think you're allowed to in some capacity.
I'm checking it right now.
Yeah, we got Jerry the Diver Guy on it. But regardless, even if it was, just why don't you just pick one of the lionfish derbies? That's what you ought to do, Barry.
I want to do that with you guys. You know, we have a team of four if we get everyone together.
Well, there's only three of us right now. So, what do you mean four? Who's the fourth?
Bubble Boy? He can't swim?
Bubble Boy, okay.
CJ?
You know, he doesn't have a lot of experience with the pole spear. So.
Someone's got to carry the bag.
Okay. They can carry the zookeeper.
He does have a point there, Greg.
Yeah, okay, good point. All right. More coming up. Stay close. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. You know, Barry brings up an interesting point. Like, who gets stuck with the bag when you're, you know, participating in a lionfish derby or going to snag lobsters or something like that? You know, I always like to share the love. And, you know, sometimes I'll carry the flag if we're, you know, have to have a flag with us, which is most of the time in Florida. But, you know, sometimes, you know, whoever's carrying the flag, you know, may not be able to carry the lobster bag, or in lionfish derby's situation, it'd be one of those zookeeper things. How do you determine which person gets it? The low man on the totem pole, like Bubble Boy? Is that what you were alluding to before the break there, Barry?
No, I thought you said that James didn't have as much experience with it, but someone needs to carry that bag because... you know, those things have spines. That's a special bag they go into, correct?
Well, you could. There are lionfish bags, but, you know, they have those zookeeper things. They're like a big PVC pipe, and you stuff them in there.
Yeah, the big tube.
Yeah, yep. And that way you don't get snagged. But I have a bag that's made by Armor Products that is specifically designed for lionfish, too. And it's made out of, you know, a hardcore type of Kevlar-like material that won't... you know, won't let the spines get out and tag you, you know, which obviously you got to be very careful about when you're doing a lionfish kind of thing. But those zookeepers are the most popular. You know,
okay.
You're very unlikely you're going to get, you know, zapped by one of those unless you're taking the lionfish out of your zookeeper back on the boat and trying to clean them. That's when you'll get whacked most of the time. Okay. Or you'll be, you could accidentally get whacked like the scuba cowboy did in Curacao.
Oh, he got hit?
Yeah, well, and he got hit by a leftover barb that was left on the end of his pole spear that hadn't got cleaned off when he stuffed it in the zookeeper, and he he pulled it back out, and he's carrying it around, and there was still a little barb there. And uh-oh, wait a minute. That hurt. What's going on? That wasn't the pole spear. Oh, my gosh. Here's a leftover spine from a lionfish. And his hand swelled up the whole thing. It wasn't good. More coming up. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Hi, this is Joe, a dive instructor on the Turks and Caicos Explorer 2. You are listening to Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I'm known for spicing up the briefings by dressing up, and apparently this guy has dubbed me the Lady Gaga of the Seven Seas. Honestly, I think he's a little jealous. Greg the Dive Master, take it away, fancy boy.
Okay. I don't even know how to respond, and I probably shouldn't. But I am Greg the Dive Master. Barry the Boater, Jerry the Diver Guy with us. Via the way, I see Walt. Captain Walt keeps chiming in, but I don't see him now. What's going on with him, guys? Do you know?
I don't know. I think he's having an internet problem. But when he comes back, I had one more idea.
Walt or what?
Well,
what
no, mean? for the dive team. Okay, yeah. We really need a fifth. We need Jerry here, you know, to fill in when someone gets tired.
Okay.
And then we need Walt in his go-fast boat, because he could take us from place to place to fill up on lionfish.
Okay. Well, you know, it's like lobster. You know, 9 times out of 10 or you know, 90% of the work is finding where they're hanging. You know, so a lot of people get dragged behind the, you know, back of a boat, and they'll idle around a reef area and be pulled until they see something that looks good.
Who's done that before, I wonder?
I have.
I know.
Barry the Boater. Yeah.
And you're yelling at me, slow down, slow down.
Slow down, you're drowning me and Curly. Yeah, last time we did that down in South Florida, and he kind of idled up too fast. So, yeah, you got to go at a particular speed. It was a little yeah, but then, you know, that was fun for Barry. He was amusing himself by attempting to drown CJ and myself.
Attempting,
yeah, he didn't succeed. Came damn near close, but hey, that's just part of the thing. But
Walt's got a lot of ocean underneath him, so he knows all the places the fish may live.
Well, true. And once again, you know, it's very similar. You know, 90% of the game is finding out where they're hanging more than catching them. I mean, especially when it comes to lionfish. Lionfish, I don't know if lionfish are any smarter than hogfish. Would you think, Barry? I mean,
I think they are. I've noticed that they will hide, but as you said, they will just kind of hang out there, and you can get pretty close to spare them. That's why I think they give you these little short spear sticks to shoot them with.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's a good question. I don't really know why they're so much shorter than the long pole spears. I don't know what the answer is to that, but that's, you know, that is interesting when you mention that, because, yeah, the lionfish pole spears are about, I don't know, what, 3 feet long, maybe, yeah, tops?
Tops, more like 2.5 feet.
Yeah.
They're not very long.
Little handheld little pole spear thing that you can use to snag a lionfish, and they're specifically made for that. But, you know, traditionally, you know, we'd have these things, what they call them, Hawaiian slings, just a typical hand pole spear that might be, I don't know, 6 feet long, pretty long, and give you a little length.
It could be because you want to be able to really control this fish on the end of the pole. With a 6 foot spear, if you have a dive buddy too close to you, you may end up knocking him, you know, with the fish. Whereas if you have a short little 2 foot pole, you have more control over it. Less chance of sticking someone with their spines.
Well, maybe. I mean, because, yeah, they can, if you don't whack them good with the first hit, it knocks them out. Like, if you don't get them in the head, yeah, they can still, you know, get a little wily.
Now, Jerry can bring some of his magic medicine to put into these tubes, and that will really knock them out.
Well, you know, and I guess, too, you know, there's the shorter ones, you can easily get them into the zookeeper quick. You know, you zap them and... You know, stick it right into the zookeeper. and pull it out, and you're good to go. You know, like I said, the problem with the with Pup, when we had a little incident in Curacao, was he caught the lionfish, stuffed it in the zookeeper, and one of the barbs stayed on the spear gun, or on the you know, the spear head, the three-way prong thing, and he didn't realize it. And, you know, after he catches the lionfish, he would, like, take his hand and just kind of scrape it across the pole spear to get it ready for the next thing and kind of hide it with his left hand, and his left hand hit the barb, and he actually got whacked, and his hand swelled up pretty good.
What did they give him for that?
Hot water. Yeah, you know, it's very similar when you get whacked by a lionfish, like a stingray, a barb. I mean, hot water, they say, from Divers Alert Network, is the best remedy, because it keeps the stinging cells from those barbs from firing so rapidly, or whatever, or activating as much. So, you know, when we got back to shore, you know, the instruction was, you know, try to get your hand in as hot as water as you can take without, you know, obviously burning yourself. But that was really the only thing that would give you the relief, was hot water.
Do you have one of these zookeeper containment units? I'm looking at them now.
Yeah, I do not have a zookeeper. I do have a bag, a lionfish bag, that Armor Products put out a few years ago, that it looks very similar to a lionfish, I mean, to a lobster bag, you know.
Yeah, but it's solid, like it has a really thick, as you
fabric.
Said,
yeah.
Fabric.
Yeah,
zookeeper is made like a PVC.
Exactly.
Like a pipe, PVC, yeah. Piping.
So, yeah. I mean, you know, the Armor Product thing is what I have, and it is designed for lionfish, and it would work for lionfish, but, you know.
The bag is supposed to be, the spines are not supposed to penetrate the bag.
Exactly, and that's the key. You don't want it to do that, or it could penetrate you, and that's what you're trying to avoid, obviously. So,
okay, so we'll have James carry the bag.
True, yeah. Let someone else deal with it. You know, it's funny, because most people, you know, the people that shoot them don't generally get stung. The time you get stung is when you're sticking them in the zookeeper and they don't go in there quite right, or even most of the time of the stories that I hear people getting stung by a lionfish is when they've filled up their lion or their zookeeper and they get back to the boat, and then they open up the zookeeper to pour them into a bucket or a cooler or whatever. And then one goes awry and slides around and, you know, hits somebody's foot or something like that, or it slips out of the zookeeper before you get up on the boat accidentally, or something, you know, escapes that way. But, or cleaning them while they're cleaning the lionfish after they're kind of dead. I mean, they may not be totally dead, but, you know, even if they are dead, they can still sting you if you hit the barb in the wrong way. It'll still whack you one. So
this is not looking like much fun right now.
Well, I've seen it done a lot of times. I've done it myself. You know, I've seen many techniques. I mean, the people that do it a lot, like the guys in Curacao, when we were there on that last trip during December for our Christmas in Curacao adventure, those guys were hardcore lionfish slayers. And there was a guy on the boat with Underwater Encounters Curacao, or Ocean Encounters Curacao, and he got off the second dive. We had slayed a bunch of lionfish and had a big old bucket of them, and he was the guy who was in charge of cleaning them. And I'm like, okay, he's going to pull out some gloves, protect himself. Nope. He got back there on the deck of the boat with his big old bucket of lionfish, and starts grabbing them with his bare hand, and, you know, had a knife and starts cutting off the fins and cleaning these fish. And, you know, he could clean one in like 30 seconds. I mean, he had it down to an art. But I was shocked, because he was not using any kind of protection for his hand. And I'm like, what, are you crazy?
I said, well, the spines are on top, right?
They are on top, yes. But still, I mean, it's a bucket full of lionfish. You know, how do you know which, you know, that you don't accidentally grab one? And you see him every once in a while wince, like, oops, ah, you know, like he
okay. And maybe like, he's gotten used to it. He injected himself so many times.
Well, that's exactly
poison.
What he said. He goes, it doesn't really bother me anymore. You know, that's part of the game. But, you know, I have my technique, and I do it, and I whack him, and do this, that, and the other thing. And yeah, I might get hit a little bit here and there, but yeah, it doesn't affect me anymore. So he's created an immunity to a lionfish sting. I don't really want to do that. I don't want to go through the first time I get stung by a lionfish, and because I've seen how painful it is. I mean, when Pup got stung accidentally there in Curacao, he did not look like a happy camper for a while. You know what I'm saying?
And he uses his hands. That's his money-making
Exactly. Hands. He was a little concerned about that, but he worked it out pretty quickly, and you know, he did okay. But I learned my lesson early on in my diving career when my dive instructor got stung by a stingray. And once again, a stingray sting and lionfish sting, very, very similar. But I will tell you this story in the next segment because, you know, nothing's like a good lesson compared to when you actually see it in front of you and you see what can happen when things go wrong. It really kind of drills it home, and I'll share that with you next here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
Come as a guest, leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures Liveaboards. It doesn't matter if you're traveling solo with a buddy or group. Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. For proof, know Explore Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. They're also the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. You've likely heard us talk about Explore Ventures Scuba Radio scuba cruise trips many times, and we invite you to join us on the next one. However, whether we're on board with you or not, I'll bet an Explore Ventures liveaboard trip will be one of the best dive experiences you've ever had. It just doesn't get any better. Save the St. Kitts, Turks and Caicos, the Galapagos, Maldives, Indonesia, humpback whales, and the Silver Banks. New destinations and itineraries are being added all the time. Call one of their talented travel consultants to find the Explore Ventures liveaboard experience that's just right for you. 1-800-322-3577. That's 1-800-322-3577. Or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Traffic sucks, unless you're scuba diving with Mike Scott.
Mike glanced down at his dive computer. It showed less than 50 PSI left in his tank. Probably just a few more breaths.
Or riding shotgun in a thrilling car chase.
One bullet hit the Jeep's windshield, spiderwebbing the passenger side. Mike shifted into second gear and felt the Jeep leap forward. This just got serious.
Escape your commute with audiobooks from author Eric Douglas. Download to your phone. Go to booksbyeric.com or audible.com.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio. Scuba Radio.
Prepare to rig for dive.
Your surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
I would like to extend to you an invitation to the party.
We're going to have some fun without a dive.
At the party. Scuba party.
Now don't stay behind. Don't get left out.
At the party. Scuba party.
Now the scuba party is here and it's here to stay.
Party.
If you want some fun, it's the only way.
At the party, scuba party.
We're gonna dive in and swim all about, move around just like the truck. Now at the party, a big, big party.
Yes, it's a party always here on the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. Special shout out again to all the folks there on Facebook Live. Thank you for tuning in today and joining the party. Hopefully I haven't bored you too much. Like I said, I just look at the screen. It's like just me talking in front of a microphone. Boring! That's just me. But I do appreciate the fact that you
but
guys
you
are there.
You got to get your ukulele out and play it for us.
Well, you know, I didn't do that today during the commercial break. But, you know, Curly Johnson will be here next week, I think. So, but I have him helping me out in the studio. That gives me a little more flexibility to play. So maybe we'll do that. We'll see.
You'll be there next week live. Okay.
Yeah, that is the plan. You coming up,
live.
Barry?
I keep wanting to get up there. It's just something always happens. But
yeah.
Maybe this coming next Saturday, yeah.
All right. Well, we'll see how that unfolds. All right, so let me share this story. You guys might have heard this before. Have you heard my stingray story? Does that ring a bell? Somebody getting stung by a stingray?
I think it's maybe been a while since I've heard it.
All right. Heard it. Well, here's the thing. Well, it happened down in the Keys. And it was actually, I was down there, I believe, if I remember correctly, I think I was doing my advanced open water course. So my wife and I are down there in Key Largo, and we're having a great dive. Yeah, it was, because it was a night dive, and the instructor, I mean, he's this young, you know, fit guy, you know, I mean, he could have been a friggin' runner or athlete or whatever, super athlete, very well built guy, and, you know, he's showing us how to do this stuff, and we do our night dive after we've done our deep dive and navigation and all this kind of stuff. So it's the final dive of our advanced open water course. And we go down, and he's doing what instructors do. You want to share the love of the underwater world, and a lot of that is the critters, you know, that you see, whether, you know, it's lobsters or fish or sharks or whatever. And down there at this time, you know, we see a stingray. A little baby one, matter of fact. And, you know, we're shining our lights on this night dive around. We're seeing cool stuff, and we're just, you know, bubbling over with excitement. And he sees this little stingray out in the open in the sand. And he goes up to it, and he's pointing to it and stuff. And he goes, yeah, guys, look, check this out. And he took his right hand, and he kind of slid it up over the side of of this baby stingray like he was going to pet it. And I don't know if he ever touched it or not. He might have, but I don't remember if he actually touched it. But sure enough, as soon as he did that, you see him jerk his hand away, and start holding his hand. I'm like, and you know, honestly at the time I wasn't sure what had happened, but you know, you could see there was something going on with his hand. And through the rest of the dive, he was sitting there playing with his palm. It like got him. His tail of the stingray had got him right in the palm of his hand, and he was like squeezing the, you know, pus out of it or whatever.
Yeah.
And just kind of looking at it going like, you know, you could hear him rumbling and stuff. But, you know, honestly, I didn't really think much about it. I was like, well, okay, something happened. He got stung but, you know, honestly, at that point, I didn't really know how big of a deal a stingray sting is. You know, he's my instructor. He's teaching us this stuff. And you could tell he was a little agitated. And we got back up on the boat, and he's like, nah, I shouldn't have done that. I'm such an idiot. And he's going on and on. But, you know, he's not really saying much about anything. Like, are you okay? Yeah, I'm fine, whatever, you know, that kind of thing. So we go back to the dock, and we rinse our gear off and go through the whole process, not really thinking anything about it, until we get back to our hotel room. And he had a room next to ours, and literally we had just got in, cleaned up, and turned off the lights, and all of a sudden I hear this bang on the wall of our hotel room, just doo doo doo, and I'm like, what the hell's going on? And I you know, and my wife goes, yeah, go see what's going on. That's you know, it's his room. And so I go and I knock on the door. He comes to the door. He goes, oh, my God. I mean, there's like tears streaming down his face. He is in agony. And I'm like freaking out. I'm like, well, what's going on? He goes, oh, my God. I gotta call, you know, 911. Call Dan. I need you to call Dan. And he's like screaming at the top of his lungs. Like, oh, my God, I'm in so much pain. And I mean, it was a little traumatic, to say the least. Because, I mean, here's the guy you look up to as your dive instructor, and he's all fit and well, and like this little baby stingray has brought the guy to tears. And he was obviously in tremendous pain. So I called up Divers Alert Network. He said, you know, get on the phone, call them immediately, tell them, and ask them what I should do, because he's in so much pain he couldn't do anything. And so I call him, and they say, quick, get his hand under as hot as water as he can stand immediately. Because he had been already trying stuff, because the pain had, you know, been getting worse and worse, to the point where you know, he's ready to, you know, blow his brains out. He was in so much pain. I mean, I'll never forget it. I mean, that's what I'm saying. You go through an experience like that, it really drills home what not to do when you see somebody make a mistake. And knock on wood. I was knocking on my forehead, by the way. That, you know, I'll never do that. So, you know, there you go. But hot water was the only remedy, or the only thing that would take away some of the pain. And that did. As soon as he got it in hot water, you know, it kind of brought the stinging cells down within a tolerable range, and then it wore off. Think about that for lionfish, too. I think that's the procedure. But you'd call the Dan. You'd call Divers Alert Network if you ever got into a jam like that. All right, well, that'll do it for this week. Till next time, remember, it is always better. Where, gang?
Downwards wetter.
Yeah, there we go. They got it out. Safe diving, everyone.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.